Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Tonight, special guest Jonathan England, whose fascinating journey is revealed in his book, If I Die Before I Wake, reveals five levels of consciousness, helping the reader create an awakened life to find the way to abundance. Jonathan England is on a mission to teach people to take responsibility for their thoughts, feelings, actions, and reality while working with nature for those wanting to live an awakened life. Now, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Good evening, friends. We're broadcasting worldwide here again on the Global Village Radio Show. We have a really interesting guest tonight. I'm looking forward to talking to Jonathan England about his life and how he came to be the founder of the Earth Waking University in Costa Rica. My good friend and co-host Doug Bentley is here tonight, and we are going to ask more of what Jonathan has to offer the world, and I'm particularly intrigued on his mission to individually help abundance happen to people all over the world and to take 100% responsibility for their actions, thoughts, feelings, and I guess their spiritual growth. Jonathan is in Costa Rica right now. He joins us, and I'm going to say welcome to the show, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight.
All right. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I love that it's called Global Village, too, because I actually live in a village in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to come there.
Like these villages globally too. It's the first one here. It was always the prototype. We always knew, and now it's done. It's developed, and we know what we're doing, and we're starting to scale. We already started to build our second one.
That's amazing. How long have you been, under construction? Shall I call that, or putting this village together? How long has it taken?
The physical one here. I mean, it's like I think it's like the. Called the Babel tree, where it takes like 6 years before it sprouts, but then like in 60 days it grows 90 feet or something like that. But so it's kind of like that. So it sprouted really fast once we got here. But it was January 7th of last year is when we got this first location. It was an old eco hotel, like eco lodge, that we purchased for $1 million, and then turned it into a village built with one. We've got like. At first, it had like 11 casitas, I believe, and now we're up to about 25. And basically, the whole thing's completely off-grid now. We got our own food, our own water, our own everything. So we're sovereign, and we don't we've severed our dependency upon the sick system out there in the world. So it's pretty cool.
I like that idea. What inspired you to do this? Where did you get this idea?
In my book, I go through my journey, these five levels of consciousness, but I used to be a broke, ignorant, blackout, drunk, atheist, beach bum, and then one evening, I was driving when I was blackout drunk, and I rear-ended a car at a stoplight, and I didn't know I was driving because I was blackout drunk. I came to, I was like, what just happened? I realized what I just done, and I tried to put my truck in reverse and take off, but there was a cop sitting right at the light, and wind up catching me and taking me to jail. Thank God I went to jail that night, and I sat there, and I could no longer run, I could no longer hide, and most importantly, I could no longer numb. And, you know, that's why I was getting so drunk all the time. I was just trying to numb the pain that was in me. And I couldn't, there's nowhere to go. And it was just me and me. And sitting there, I started thinking, like, John, you could have killed somebody. Like, luckily nobody got hurt, but they could have. And I'm like, yeah, I know I could have killed somebody. I'm already beating myself up enough, and I'm just talking to myself. Mm-hmm. And but the voice just kept saying, no, John, you could have killed somebody. I'm like, yeah, I know, I get that. But then I noticed that the voice was trying to tell me something else. I'm like, all right, what are you saying? Yes, I know I could have killed somebody. And then it was like, if one of your decisions and one of your actions could hurt somebody, what could another one of your actions do? Like, well, it could help somebody. Like, oh, wait a minute. So if my actions could hurt somebody or help somebody, that means my actions actually matter. And if my actions matter, then that means maybe I matter. And if I matter, maybe life isn't meaningless. And so the reason that I was, you know, the way that I was, blackout drunk, broke, ignorant, you know, beach bum, was because I didn't think that I mattered. And so someone who has that belief about themselves, they act accordingly. And so suddenly, mm-hmm. while I was sitting in jail, I made a new decision that I do matter. And once I decided that I matter, then I decided, well, from this moment forward, every decision I make is going to help people. It's no longer ever going to hurt anyone. It's only going to help people, and it's going to be conscious decisions. And so that decision was my first conscious decision, really, and it put me on a new trajectory. And from there, I said, okay, well, how am I going to do this? What do I do? And I said, well, I guess I need to build a family. That's what most people do that are responsible adults. So let me create a family and see if I can figure out how to give them a happy life, and that should do it. But then I'm like, well, how am I going to do that? I don't have any money. And so I decided to figure out a way to make money. And I was flipping channels one night, and there was an infomercial came on with this guy named Dean Graziosi. He's a real estate investing. He used to teach real estate investing. He doesn't really teach that much anymore, but he was on TV in this infomercial late at night, and he says, have you ever in your adult life felt like you should be further along than you are right now? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I feel like. He's like, well, if I could give you this one thing that would change your life forever, would you want that thing? I'm like, yeah, I want that thing. He's like, all right, well, give me all your money. He didn't actually, that's not the what he said. I'm like, well, I don't have any money. I need your thing so I could go make some money. And but anyway, I wound up going for it. And I think it was like 10 grand. And so I had to come up with $10,000 to buy his thing. But I came up with it. And mm-hmm. as Tony Robbins says, it's never a lack of resources. It's only ever a lack of resourcefulness. So that was the day that I became resourceful. And I invested in myself. I got that course. And within 18 months, starting with no money, no credit, no clue, I'd made $400,000. Within 2 years, I built a multi-million-dollar real estate empire. I became Dean's number one student in 2012 and became very successful. Now I had money. And I knew how I'd got it is because I started doing personal development. Rather than the education that I got in school, which I didn't learn anything about health, I didn't learn anything about wealth, I didn't learn anything about happiness, I didn't learn anything about relationships, I didn't learn anything about spiritual connection, which are the only things that really matter to people. But this new way, this personal development, I learned something that mattered to build wealth. And I learned from somebody, a mentor, somebody who'd already walked the path. And so I'm like, you know what? If I was lied to about money, then I've been lied to about other stuff as well. And then because I was always an all-in kind of guy. So then I decided I'm going all in. I'm going to find out what else I've been lied to about. And I'm going to find the people who have you'll know them by their fruits. I'm looking for the people with the fruits, and I'm going to buy their recipes because I got the money now. And that's what I did. And I got really kind of like addicted to personal development. And I wound up going to like every event that I could find. And so this is the point of the story is you asked me a question. And I said all that as a context to prepare you for this moment right here is how I got here into this village, how the village was birthed. I'd go to these events and, you know, I'd go to a Tony Robbins event or something like that. And there's all these people that are setting goals that are like just inspired. They're like living their dreams, or at least committed to living their dreams. They're going in that direction. And it just felt so great to be around those kind of people. But then I would leave that event and I'd go back into what I now call the old world, and everybody's just like miserable and angry and hateful. And if you start shining too bright or dreaming too big, you get beat down. And I'm like, this got to be a different way. There's got to be, like, I don't want to keep going back to this world where people that are just angry all the time. I want to live in a world that's like that event that I live at. Why is it only at an event? Why can't it be a life? And so that was when it actually birthed. The vision actually birthed then that I want to go to an event. But I don't want it to just be an event. I want it to be a life. So then that's actually what the villages are. People come here to set their goals, their dreams, and move into, you know, take responsibility for the reality. But then you never go back out into the old world. You just start building from here, and you don't have to worry about people beating you down all the time for being too happy. So that's how
I love it. I love it. So you're there. You were, you know, like sitting on an ash pile, like Job was in the good book, and you know, down and out, and something inside of you, this conversation you had, to recap, sort of inspired you, and you got it. It was an aha moment where you're taking responsibility for your actions. You're having some revelation that your actions have consequences, and then you acted upon it. And the one thing that I was really intrigued to hear you say was that you went to mentors, to people who had the fruit. You didn't listen to the people who were gossipers or just, you know, talking. You went to the people that walked the walk and talked the talk. And then you got addicted to it. Wow. I mean, you must have spent a lot of time and money on that, but it obviously paid off. How old were you when you had that accident and sort of that turnaround point?
I would have been, let's see, it was in 2010, I believe. So what is that? It's 13. So I'd have been like 20, I think 28 or so, something like that. I think it was about 28 when it happened. Or no, so, it was a little bit earlier.
Well, in the mid 20s anyway. I mean, that's for somebody in their 20s. Yeah, that's a pretty big step. And you know, I read your bio, and you have done very well in real estate. And again, that my mentor Ross Peterson asked me something, a similar question. It was, how many people want, I was in the class, and how many people want to be a millionaire? And everybody stuck their hand up. And he said, okay, how many people will give me $10,000 and I'll guarantee you'll be a millionaire? Everybody pulled their hand down. And I was like shocked, right? That I would, because I had high respect for my mentor. But obviously, you put your money where your mouth was. You took the steps. It must have been exciting. I mean, as you go by, you probably went into new places and saw new people, and you know, the people that went through your life, you know, the old people in the old world, as you call it, all faded away. Were you lonely at any time, or did you, you know, or did you have more dreams or spiritual experiences to help guide you? I would suspect you did.
Oh, yes. It's been a wild journey. That was just the beginning of the journey that I shared with you. And a couple things. One, you said I must have invested a lot of money into the personal development. At this point, it's over $500,000 that I've invested in personal development, just going to events and masterminds and things like that. And another thing that you said is I became aware of the consequences of my actions, but it wasn't so much about the consequences for me, because I was like, whatever, you can beat me, you can do whatever you want to me. Because I didn't think that I mattered. But once I realized that my actions had consequences on other people, that I actually make a difference, that's when the light bulb came on. I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. So, but then I make these new decisions. I go on this new path and I start to become successful. So, and how it began was, I started to just like, I was taking the course, and one of the things it said is go find, because it's all about real estate investing, and I was a beach bum, and all my friends, the birds of a feather flocked together, and all of my friends were broke, ignorant, blackout, drunk, atheist, beach bums as well. So, and I'm starting to tell them, I'm going to be a successful real estate investor, and they're like, yeah, whatever.
You're sure, yeah, sure you are, you know, that kind of thing, right, yeah. So go ahead, what happened?
Yeah. So then, but in the course, it says, hey, go find a real estate investment club in your area and start attending that. And I didn't have one in my town. It was the closest one was an hour and a half away. So I started driving there once a month. And so I remember the first time I went there, I sat in the corner and I'm like, oh no, they're going to find out I'm not a real estate investor. Now, later on, I realized that they just assume people that aren't real estate investors are going to come in there and learning how to, you know, be real estate investors. So it's not, you know, but I didn't know that. I was just so new to all this stuff and it was just, you know, scary. So I was just hiding for a couple of months, like hoping nobody sees me. And,
really? Wow.
Yeah, it was wild. It took me 6 months to do my first deal, but I was all in. You know, I'm studying everything as much as I could possibly study, and I'm like, all right, I've really got this, you know, and I paid good money for this program, so I value it because I valued it. I paid $10,000, which was everything for me at that point, so this had to work, and, you know, I had to borrow the money, so this had to work. I didn't have a backup plan. I didn't have a back door. It's like, you know, I have to do this. So I was given everything that I got learning. But about the third month I show up and I'm like, dude, I really know everything they're all talking about here. Why isn't it working for me? Fourth month I show up. I'm like, dude, I could teach this stuff. Fifth month, I'm like, I'm just as smart as all these people here. I just, you know, sixth month I'm looking around the room like, I'm just smart as him. I'm just smart as her. I know everything they're talking about. I know that. And that guy over there is an idiot. And if that idiot can do it, I can do it. You know, that instant. Now, I'm not suggesting people go around calling people an idiot to get their, to flip.
That's what you were thinking. Yeah, that's what you were thinking at the time. Sure. Yeah.
But that's what worked. Because it was that was the instant that I became a real estate investor. Because now I believed if he could do it, I could do it. And it was
magic words.
You know what? My very next day, I got my first deal. And but you know what else? Over those 6 months, in order to be a real successful real estate investor, there's one thing that you got to do. You got to put in offers. In those first 6 months, guess how many offers I put in? I didn't do any deals. How many offers? Zero. I did zero deals because I made zero offers.
Isn't that amazing, huh?
Yeah. How would I ever? Why is it taking me so long to get a deal? Because you haven't put any offers, John. But that's the thing. We'll do everything except for the one thing. And then
that's signing on the dotted line, right? That's the hard part. Yeah. Signing on that dotted line. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so once I decided, once I knew my identity shifted, I'm a real estate investor. Then I got the fruits of it, and you know, and it was just on from there. And now, but at that point, though, I stopped hanging out with all my friends. I just kind of pulled myself away from everybody. And now I'm, you know, watching videos on YouTube and reading books. I got Audible. I'm listening to books all day. And so these people in the books and in the videos, these are now my friends. Now, they don't know they're my friends, but because they're, you know, I'm just listening to their books, but they're the only people I'm talking to. They just can't hear me. But what was wild is at some point, suddenly they all became, I started showing up to mastermind groups and these are all my friends now, you know, Les Brown and, you know, Tony Robbins. I'm like in the room with these people now and I'm hanging out with them like, wow, it's so wild. But in that journey, all my friends, like, cause then I went back to get my friends. I'm like, all right. Cause I had just removed myself from their reality for a while. And,
yeah, could you do that? I don't think you can ever go home again. What happened?
Well, yeah, I went back to get them, and they just turned on me. It was like
they weren't your friends. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was going on back then. I didn't know why, but what it was now I was they could no longer keep their excuses because now I was if I remained in their reality, they couldn't keep their excuses on why they were so miserable, right? That why their life was miserable. So they had to figure out a way to explain me away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to get me out of their life and it hurt. It was painful. But then I had, you know, I had new friends. My book is about five levels of consciousness. And I've only talked about two levels currently because the level of success is that's just level two. So each time you transcend a level, you're going to get a new set of friends each time. So I had to get that pain for a couple times, a couple of the transcending levels. I had to get the pain of losing people until I realized that it wasn't painful to lose people anymore, because you never actually lose anybody. You only lose what they're not. You never lose what they are, because what they are is infinite eternal beings that, you know, aren't just bodies. We're souls that are hanging out in bodies for a little while.
Well, you outgrew them. You became more self-aware, more spiritual, and basically you outgrew them. And that's an important point for the listeners out there, that as you go through success, you, by virtue of getting out of lockstep, you're no longer conforming to your friends. And maybe, Jonathan, you'd agree that conformity is a bit of a sin, a bit of a problem. And the nonconformist, as you were, or as you took your steps, you kind of get out of that safe, that transition, that safe zone, you know, between here and there. And then your friends naturally fade away. But that's a testament to your tenacity and your ability to tough it out, you know, to keep on going. Because I think, would you agree that sometimes people get to the threshold of success and they're about to step through, and then they don't want to leave their friends or their old ways, and they fall back? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen it over and over, especially now developing a community. Because it's like what it takes to step into this village, to actually live at this village, because everybody here has gone on such an intense journey to shed all the layers of their ego, of their illusions. And so when people show up here, that because I call it where we came from, the old world, and this is the new earth. And in the new earth, when somebody shows up, and you can tell immediately if they haven't done the shedding yet, they haven't done the work yet, they're going to show up and they're going to be codependent. And how it shows up, and now it's normal in the old world to be codependent. It's like, that's just what you do there. Here it's really weird to see somebody like, and how it shows up is they start trying to score points. They start trying to figure out what you want, then they're trying to give it to you. They're trying to, you know, and I'm like, that's really weird. That's like icky, man. Just because our core message here is your only job for being alive is to be you. The only way you can possibly fail is by trying to be something that you're not. And your difference is the only thing that can make a difference. So I can't tell you who you are. I don't know who you are. You got to find that inside of yourself. And if you're basing your actions upon what you think I think about you, then you're never going to find you. You've got to let go of what I think, let go of all that, and just start to listen to the still small voice within. And you were talking about conformity. Yeah, you know, be not conformed to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The actual, in the five levels of consciousness, there's a massive mistake that keeps you failing each level. The level one, the number one mistake that you will never escape level one if you don't stop making this mistake. And what it is caring what other people think. Because if you care what other people think, you're going to do what other people do. And if you do what other people do, you're going to get what other people get. And
good point. Good point. Wow.
Yeah. And what's wild, in my book, at the beginning, my dedication in my book, that most of the people that are in that dedication, or at least, I'd say at least half of them, they were like the people that I thought were my friends forever. I mean, I still love them with every ounce of my being. It probably goes to half of them that are in my dedication of my book, and I leave it there on purpose because it means something to me to just remember this. But they've turned on me, like not just like me, they're like attack me. I mean, one dude's got a full on website about me that he updates his site more than I update mine, and just makes up complete garbage about me. It's the wildest thing that I've ever seen. I'm like, holy crap! And I thought for years, this was like one of my best friends, and it's just so wild. And again, the reason being is because I take away their excuses, so they have to find out some way. I mean, it's what they did to Jesus, right? He's just showing up, and they're like, because they wanted power. Jesus was power. And when he shows up, it means, uh-oh, if we don't get rid of him, people are going to see we're full of crap. And so they had to take him out. And it's a really wild ride. So buckle up, anybody who's listening to this right now and you're about to go on a journey. Anything else is insane, but you're going to, it's coming.
You know, Jonathan, I agree 100%. I've had experiences, I'm 73. I've had lots of experiences similar to that. And the idea that somebody explained to me, because I was terribly hurt, when some of my best friends or people I believed to be my best friends turned on me. And somebody came along and said, well, there's a Buddhist teaching that says, you know, you have four different friends, types of friends. Those that you think are your friends, they're really your quiet enemies, those that are getting you to do things for them all the time. And, you know, you go out for lunch and you always pay for the lunch and they always seem not to pay. Those people are not your friends, Douglas. And then it was like, why are these people attacking me or in what you're talking about yourself? And the answer to that was that you've achieved something. It's a monumental achievement just listening to what you're saying here tonight. And the whole idea is that they put you up on a pedestal and they're trying to make themselves big men by pulling you down. And I think that sounds a lesson I learned a long time ago. And it hurts, though, as you say. I can still feel the pain in your voice as you're talking. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it but pass them by. And as you continue to move, what you've just told me tonight, I'm hoping the audience here, we're talking to a worldwide audience, and the show will be played tomorrow in the different time zones around the world. We're all the same, and the idea is that the steps that you've just recounted tonight are some of the basic steps, as you say, to get out of where you are. If you want to be better, you know, I'm commenting on what your words were. First thing is not to people please, is to take the steps. How do people come to you? You say they come. Do they find you? And let's get the name of your book out here. If I Die Before I Wake is the title of the book that Jonathan has been referring to tonight. I'm assuming that maybe you have several other books, Jonathan. I didn't go that far deep into your bio. But it's a wonderful title. And back to the question, how do people find you? And why Costa Rica? How did you get that particular spot?
So my book, you can just go to findyourpurposebook.com and you can just put your name and email address in. You can download the PDF for free and the audio version. It's just right there for free. So that's a lot of people, like tens of thousands of people have showed up through, that's their first step is listening to that book or reading that book and just go on a journey. You know, once that's done, they'll be on my email list and then I'll be like, hey, we're doing an event coming up here in a couple of weeks. You want to attend that? We got events that are, there's one called Awaken Life Live that's comparable to Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny, which is like a several thousand dollar event. We're nonprofit, so people can make a donation. They made a $2 donation for a $2,000 event. And so a lot of people show up to that. And sometimes after they read the book, we've had tens of thousands have showed up to that event that hadn't read the book. And people show up literally on their deathbed, literally on hospice, and wow, their entire life flipped right there at that event. Like people suicidal, this is their last ditch effort. They come here to this event, they got their camera turned, because it's online, and they got their Zoom camera turned off, and they're curled up in a ball in the corner about to die, like about to kill themselves, or literally on hospice about to die, and it flips them, and they come back to life. They return home to the kingdom inside of themselves at that event. So,
how many people show up? How many people at the event, Jonathan? When you say
anywhere, it's like you know, a couple hundred at a time. So it's 500, or 200 to 400 is usually how many are on the online events. And you know, mm-hmm. we were doing them every 2 weeks for a couple of years there. Now we've kind of slowed down on the online one now that we actually have a village here and you're allowed to do live events again. So now we'll do, we still do them online every couple months, but then we do a live one here every like 3 months, 2 to 3 months as well, live and in person. That's still obviously my favorite, being here in person at the village. But
makes sense.
Another, you asked me the question, why Costa Rica or how Costa Rica?
Yeah, why? Sounds like a beautiful place. I've never been there, but I know people that have. But how did you get there?
So I came to Costa Rica back when I was blackout drunk, ages beach bum on a surf trip one time with my friends, and it was a wild adventure back. But I was, you know, a wild kid back then. And
yeah, teenager or something.
I was early 20s.
Okay.
And, so again, I was an all in guy all the time. So my first night here, I went to jail. I get out of jail, and I had never been to a third world country before, and I'm in this little Barney Fife jail, thinking I'm going to be stuck there forever. Because back then, I was literally watching this show. It was called Locked Up Abroad. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about getting locked up in a third world country jail.
It sounds scary to me. Oh gosh.
And so that was my first night, and then later on in that trip, there was a category, it was like a 7.4 on the Richter scale earthquake. I'd never been in an earthquake. I'm like, this is crazy. And then a few days later, we went to this waterfall, and my friend jumps off the waterfall and winds up losing his leg. And I'm like, quite a journey. Well, the wild thing is full circle. Even after all that, like something in me, I just like, you know, if I don't find somewhere cooler than Costa Rica, even after all that, this is where I'm going to retire. And that was a seed that was sown inside of me. It was just always present in me. I didn't know why, but that was, you know, it was like 20 years later, 15, 20 years later, I wind up here in Costa Rica. And actually our village is directly across the street from that waterfall where my friend lost his leg. So it's wild how everything goes full circle. But specifically how I got here was because in the five levels of consciousness, the level five is called soul oriented, but it's the not my will but thine be done, where I don't ever decide what I'm going to do anymore. I'm only ever listening to God. I'm like, God, you just tell me what to do. You tell me. And God literally said, I think it was like March 19th of 2019, I think was the date. He said, it was me and my wife. He said, get in the car, drive to the airport and get in a plane and fly to Costa Rica. And we're like, what? He's like, you got an hour. And I'm like, what? Why? He's like, you got to go now. And we're like, okay. And you know, we're sovereign surrendered people. And so we both said, okay. And we get in the plane, we fly down to Costa Rica. And then as soon as we get here, the whole world shuts down for COVID. We didn't know the whole world was about to shut down. They shut down all the airports. They shut down everything. And we're in Costa Rica, and we're like, what the heck? How long are they gonna leave the airports shut down? And they were like, it's indefinite. We don't know how long it's going to be. So we're like, what? We're stuck in Costa Rica for indefinitely? And they were like, wait a minute. We're stuck in Costa Rica for indefinitely. That's not a bad deal. And so that's how we got here, because we were just listening to God, and he sent us here literally the day before, like the day that it all shut down, we were sitting here in Costa Rica. It was wild. So that's how it started. Just God brought us down here.
That's a story from the divine, and that's just following your hearts and your inner guidance. Took a lot of faith to do that, I suspect.
Oh yeah, it was complete faith. Yeah, you walk by faith, not by sight. I couldn't see nothing. It was just okay. I'm just listening. But also several years.
Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back after a short break. Okay, we're talking to Jonathan England about an amazing life, a life truly that is divinely led, and he has gone from rags to riches, or from the beach to the beach house, and he's here telling us an amazing story. For those who are listening around the world, you can find out more about him. Jonathan, what's your website, and how can people get a hold of you to get to the village?
You can download my book at findyourpurposebook.com. If you'd like to come check out our village, if you go to earthwakingvillage.org, and you can see there's a little video on there. You can check it out, and it's got an application to come visit and all that cool stuff.
Okay, we'll be right back after this.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're talking to Jonathan England tonight about his life, and it's an amazing life, and how he went from somewhere in the U.S. of A. to Costa Rica and founded this amazing Earth Waking University, I guess is the name. Is that a proper name, Jonathan, for the for the village?
Okay. The village is Earth Waking Village. So there's a university and then in the village, but there's a university in the village now.
Okay. And so once again, we just before the break, the name of the website and the name of the book that people can chime in and find out more about this amazing place.
So the book you can download for free at findyourpurposebook.com, and then you can check out our village at earthwakingvillage.org.
Hmm. Okay, well, it sounds to me like I gotta maybe come on down there. You know, that sounds like a pretty good deal, especially in the winter months up here in Canada, you know. So tell me, you were just before the break, you were talking about how you and your wife were divinely led to you know, sort of get there real fast. And then the COVID broke out and you were there for a couple of years. When you were there, were you prepared? I mean, how did you, you know, find your accommodations, or how, when you just landed there, what happened? That must have been an amazing transition. What happened?
We came in knowing that we were going to this retreat center, and that we had seen, it was a Facebook friend of mine. I didn't know how he became my Facebook friend, but me and Mel had both seen this place that he lived at, that he owned. We'd kind of seen it like a year or two previous, and was like, wow, that's it right there. Like, that's where I want to be when I grow up. And then all of a sudden, the guy reaches out to me and says, hey, do you want to go down there to my retreat center? One of my friends had met him a couple weeks previous, that went to a retreat there, and they had introduced me to him. And so now he's like inviting me. He's like, hey, you want to go down there and just stay? And so this was the day before COVID thing. He invited me and Mel to go down there and stay. And he's like, and maybe you can just kind of like oversee the property for now, because I'm not there. And I don't know. Well, I do know why, because God did it. But logically, mm-hmm. there was no reason why for him to say this. But so anyway, that's where we were going to. And it was this big 100-acre property on this 5-star retreat center. And we get there, and it's only my wife and I there. Plus there was a housekeeper, a chef, and then a guy that was there just taking care of us. and we were treated like kings and queens. And And it was, the whole world was shut down, yet we were sitting in heaven, and literally there was a little bell would ring for breakfast, ding, 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 with fresh juices they just squeezed, and a little bell rings for lunch, a little bell rings for dinner, and like, this is wild. And we're there, and like, we're not even allowed to leave because COVID, there was like all the restrictions. They said, hey, you just came in, so you're quarantined for a couple weeks. So we're like, well, okay, that's fine with me. So
love it.
We were there for 4 months.
How's the politics there? I mean, how's the coming and going with, you know, visas or traveling? Is it, you know, just for people who may be thinking of coming to the village and have a little apprehension about Costa Rica, what is it like you know, to travel in the country? And when they're there, maybe you could give us a day in the life of being at the village.
It's really easy to get here. You just fly in, as long as you got a passport, you're good to go. They'll give you a 90-day visa stamp, and so you can stay here for 90 days. After your 90 days are up, you either got to fly somewhere and then come back, or you can just drive to the border. We're 2 hours away from the Panama border. You can just drive down there and get a little passport stamp and come on back. It's real cool here. It's really it's very laid back. The phrase that they use here is pura vida, which is pure life. And everything's slowed down here. There's no rushing anywhere. It's just peaceful. It's just an enjoyable experience. The whole country, except for there's a big city called San Jose that's pretty much just like the United States. It's like a decent sized city in the United States. But other than that, you're basically in the country, except for little surfer towns and stuff. But at the village, a day in the life of the village, we all wake up and eat breakfast together. Some people get up early and they'll go do yoga together or do meditative gardening. Well, they just go weeding in the garden and just do that together. And they're just, or sometimes they'll do somebody will be playing piano. We got a big sound system and stage and a dance floor right at our front area where everything is outside here. You don't really ever go inside because the weather's always perfect year round. So we eat outside, we hang out outside, or, you know, the big living room is outside. But we all eat breakfast together. And one of our keys to how this works, because people have been trying to build intentional communities for forever, and they almost always just implode. And the reason being is because you face it within or you face it without. You face it by chance or you face it by choice. Either way, you're going to face it. What is it you're going to face? Your fears, your lies, your illusions, your judgment. And so we do what's called preemptive evolution, where we've got a game that called dysfunction. And it's a game because we put the fun in dysfunction. We don't see dysfunction as a problem. It's only a problem is if you continue doing it. So how we spot the dysfunction is if you experience anything inside of yourself other than peace, love, and joy, that means you have to be living inside of an illusion. There has to be some sort of story, some sort of lie, because everybody says love is the only thing that exists. Everybody says that, but you're acting like something else does. So there has to be a story going on inside of you if you're experiencing something other than love. And so if you get triggered, you throw it in, we call it the litter box. We put it right in the middle of our table, and it's called a litter box because what goes in there, poop, right? So it's your BS. And so you'll say, hey, I got triggered because so-and-so said this or so-and-so did that. You throw it in the bucket. Whenever, you know, you throw it the day before, or just whenever it happens, you put it in there. Or if you see somebody else get triggered, oh, so-and-so got triggered because this happened, and you throw their stuff in the bucket. So when it goes in the bucket, it's the person's stuff. When it comes out, it's ours. And we've got these very powerful, you know, breakthrough processes that we do, you know, whether it be a regression breakthrough or just like a release, resistance release technique that we do. But we all find it, like, because if it's in any of us, it's in all of us. And so we all take responsibility for it. We all find it inside of ourselves. We get to the core of it. What's the fear? What's the lie that created that resistance in you? And then once we find it, we all find it inside of ourselves, and then we do a release of it, and the whole community, we just get better, and we get bigger, brighter, better, more connected every single day, and that's how our day starts. And then some people go out. Because, again, I said our core message is your only job for being alive is to be you. The only way you can fail is by trying to be something that you're not, and your difference is the only thing that can make a difference. So some people love gardening. Some people love cooking. Some people love playing music. Some people love – it's just whatever the person loves, that's what they go do. And they spend their day doing that. And we're all – it's a interdependency, because people start out as dependent as a little child, and then we go to codependent as they start to grow up. Most people never make it out of codependent, but a lot of people never make it out of dependent. But then the next phase is independent, which is what happens in level two of the five levels. But then the final phase, which is the highest level you can get in this physical dimension, this physical experience, is interdependence, where we're all whole, complete things, but we're serving our different roles. We're all members of one body, but one's an ear, one's an eye, one's a nose, we're all playing different roles. It all brings us up together, and it's a really amazing experience.
Do people contribute financially, some people have wealth, some people don't. How does the place sustain itself? You said it's a nonprofit, and I guess people can donate, as you said earlier. Small donations are very welcome. But for people, do you have people that are permanently there, like yourself? Like, what's the population? You know, how do people sustain themselves there?
Yeah, so everybody here like is permanent residents, and then we just have people come through here and there. Like, we just had an event a couple weeks ago that we had 60 people come down for that event. But usually right now we've got I think 17 or 18 people I think that live here. We got a few mm-hmm. more that are on their way back down right now. They just had to go, liquidate some of their stuff and just clean up the old world, and so they could come on down here and be free.
Does sound like paradise.
Yeah, it is. And so once you're here, there's like nobody really, you don't have bills or anything here. It's like, we're still getting some of our food from outside of the village. We could 100% completely live off all the food that we have here, which is like it's a Garden of Eden. But it's just, it's still growing. It's going to be even more, stuff coming up soon, as we've just planted all the stuff over the past year and a half. But yeah, we still get food outside, but we got our own water source. We got our own, like, almost all the homes and the whole village is almost all off on solar power. So, but nobody really has any bills here. The nonprofit itself covers anything that there, any expenses or anything that it has, and the people just mm-hmm. live here. And so where the majority of the money comes when somebody comes in and they'll donate a larger amount to have a home here. And so some of the people are coming in and they don't really have much money. They don't have any money. And it's kind of they're contributing more of, like, it's just they're built differently. You can tell what the people love to do. It shows, them by their fruit. They're what they've already produced. A lot of times shows, it represents kind of what it is that their gift is. So some people have been good at manifesting money. And so they will, that'll be, even if that they're bringing in their money, they still find a different role inside of here as well. But it's always like there's a certain amount of people that produce the most amount of money. There's a certain amount of people that produce the most amount of, work in the garden. And so,
but the most important part.
It just depends on who you are and where you're at.
The most important part is the spiritual growth kind of thing that you were talking about earlier. I like that idea about the garbage bin in the middle of the table. You must have had some major breakthroughs on that.
Oh yeah, I mean we've gone through. Yeah, it's a wild experience. I mean sometimes we'll sit at that table. We sit there for breakfast. We get at breakfast that there's a core group of us that are there at 7:30, and then the rest of the villagers come in at 8. But then lunch is at noon. It required everybody's there at breakfast. It's not required for everybody there for lunch, but sometimes we'll be sitting there still doing breakthroughs, doing this, not left the table, and then here comes lunch, gets served, and we're like, oh, wow, yeah, we hadn't even left our seat. We're in the Garden of Eden, and you just whatever it is that is being called to you in the moment, that's what we do. We're not being directed by the outside world anymore. It's just we're being called from the inside out and going with that.
I really like the concept. I think it's, one, taking responsibility. One has to do a lot of soul searching. You've got to dig deep to get out that, that core issue or something that's bothering you. You mentioned several times how people are looking and what's the trigger? I use that word myself. And so if you find those things that are triggering you, it's kind of like a nudge. Hey, this is, you need to work on this, or why are you imbalanced? Where's your peace? Or where did you lose your peace, or something like that? But, that's a pretty challenging thing to have people, in my experience anyway, have people come together and people come with different values, different philosophies. And I like the idea that everybody can be themselves. But do you ever have any issues of conflict, or is there any, how do you solve those things of disagreements, or is there such a thing as a major disagreement? I would hope not. But what do you do about that?
We've had, people are people. When people come in the beginning, they're people come in with a lot of mud on them, is how I kind of have to say it. Like, because my role is like, I see everyone as a lighthouse. I know that's who they are, but they're running around looking for the light, but they don't understand the light is coming from within them. And the reason is because their whole life people have been throwing mud and crap at them, and so they're covered with crap and mud. And so my job is to remove all that off of them. We don't give anybody anything. I'm not teaching anybody anything. All I'm doing is removing all the illusions, everything that's covered them up, who they truly are. I would say, you don't have to create yourself. God already did that. You just got to remember who God created you to be. Like, there's a mango tree right in front of me that just makes mangoes. It didn't have to go to mango school to learn how to make mangoes. It was everything it needed to become the mango tree was already in the seed. And the same is true for you. And so all I'm doing is just helping people peel off all the stuff. But there's people come in here with a lot of their baggage, a lot of their, do the wrong thing so long, the right thing feels wrong. They still got a lot of the programming. And actually, that's why we made a game out of it, is because we literally put the fun in dysfunction. And I have a lot of fun working with people. When people are very triggered, it's the exact opposite of what I used to be, because I was a people pleaser who only wanted, I was like, I got to figure out how to make people like me. That's all I cared about, was people liking me. Now I don't care if anybody likes me or not. The only thing I care about is the truth, and I'm going to stand as the truth, but I'm going to have fun doing it. That's my gift. That's what I'm like. I'm probably at least one of the best in the world. I might be the best in the world at it. I mean, I'll have people come in that, they're dealing with trauma. They were raised as a little girl in a satanic cult, and we'll clean that stuff up. And like, it will go into that darkness and get it all out, and it's just gone and sets the people free. So it doesn't really take very long. Once the dysfunction reveals itself, once it's made its way to the surface, or it doesn't even have to come to the surface. I can start to see it pretty easily. And now the whole team, we're all trained up. Everybody who's here, it gets easier and easier as it goes, because there's more of us that can see, more of us that can hear, more of us that are aware of the why beneath the what. Because most people are doing things like, here's what I'm doing, but they don't even know why they're doing it. They have no clue where their actions are coming from. But I'm a why guy. I'm looking at the source of their actions. And if their action doesn't line up with why they think that they're doing it, then I'll call it. I'm like, hey, that doesn't line up. So you don't even know where the source of your action is coming from. Let's go find it. And so I actually have a blast doing it. I never tire from it. When we do the online event, it's 12 hours a day for 2 days straight. And I'm basically, it's me the whole time, pretty much, like for at least eight of those hours, it's me, you know, guiding people through breakthroughs and, you know, the shares and everything. So it never wears me down.
Well, you're pumped. You're a people, you know, you're a people person. And do you have those insights, those intuitions that help guide you to, you know, those locks to unlock, or those nuggets where people are being triggered and things like that? Are you kind of guided that way? It sounds to me like you're tuned into people real fast.
Yeah, I can see it. Like, I got one job, stay out of the way. And all I'm doing is I'm allowing that. Like, I'm allowing the guidance. I'm in level 5. It's not my will, but thine be done. My mind used to be my God, and I was playing chess with life. I'm like, if I do that, then that'll happen. If I do that, that'll happen. I was always trying to figure it out. But then entering into level 5, I put my mind on the altar, and then suddenly I could hear God. Like, is there a God guiding me in every step? And now my mind is used for God instead of for me using my mind for my worthiness. It's used from my worthiness. It's like God comes through me and then uses my mind to simplify things that are very difficult for most people, only because they've been living in these illusions. Because life is very simple, but people complicate the crap out of it because the only thing we're in control of is our smallness. And so people want to be in control, so they have to make things really difficult. They have to create problems for themselves so they can fix their problems or battle their problems so they can have significance for themselves, rather than just knowing that they're already significant. They don't need all this pain. They don't need all this control. They don't need all this significance. Just get out of the way. And so that's what I do when I'm holding the space for these breakthroughs, is I'm just getting out of the way and I'm just listening, and God will just direct me. I think I heard in the break, it was talking about you are tap into the Akashic Records. I haven't really gone into that, but it's probably similar to that. It's from what I've heard people talk about Akashic Records. That's like I'm reading something that can't be seen, and that there's no way that I would know for that person. Yet I've nailed it every time, and it, you know, it brings them out.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, and from my experience over 50 years or so of investigation into that, I'm listening to your words, and there's a lot of wisdom in there. And, you know, it's the name Akashic Records, Akashic Field, but it's the invisible made visible. And that level of consciousness in the ever-present moment, when that still small voice speaks to you, as you had that time when you said you were drunk and being arrested, I was sort of watching what was going on in that situation there. You were sitting down on the curb or something with handcuffs on. And it was like, wow, you know, that moment that happened to you is what is repeating now with all the people that come before you. And you're able to, you know, put your finger right on the button. And I think that's what people admire and see in you, that you're able to address the issue. All the fluff is gone, right? You get right down to the core. And that's what people are looking for, that honest truth, that insight. And I guess it's, in my opinion, you're being inspired, as we all are, through the spiritual, you know, the soul mind or whatever we can put a name on it. But that I've listened to your words and the wisdom that's coming out of you tonight. For everybody out there in the world listening, this is an amazing man. Jonathan England is our guest tonight. We're going to take a short break and be right back, and maybe Jonathan will hang around a little more, and we'll have a couple of callers here ask you a question or two after the break. Anyway, what's the name of the website again, and your book? I've been mispronouncing it as the If I Die Before I Wake, so sorry about that, Jonathan.
But no, you got the book right. It's If I Die Before I Wake, but the website to go download is findyourpurposebook.com. So,
okay.
But the book is If I Die Before I Wake. Findyourpurposebook.com, and you can also check out our village. You've got earthwakingvillage.org.
I love it. We'll be right back after this.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic Field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide, on sale now at DouglasJamesCockrell.com. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCockrell.com. Gems of Wisdom.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
And you're listening to The Global Village, being broadcast worldwide. My name is Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. The co-host is Doug Bentley, and our special guest tonight is Jonathan England. The show is being produced by Paul Hughes, and we're having a great conversation with a very intriguing and experienced man who has this amazing place in Costa Rica. Jonathan, again, how can people get there, and when is the best time to come around the year, or is there a busy time or a slack time? How can people get there?
You can go to my website, earthwakingvillage.org, to find out about it. But, yeah, it's just any time. Half the year is the rainy season. The weather is always the same as far as temperature, but half the year is the rainy season. But during the rainy season, there's less tourists here. So if you want to be around less tourists, but even, you don't really notice the tourists where I'm at, unless you go to the beach 10 minutes down the road, you can see them. But anytime's good here in Costa Rica. And even the rainy season, like, we love the rain here. It's different. Like, when I was in the United States, I didn't like it to rain, but here, like, you just go play in the rain. It's like, you just love it. Actually, it's raining right now. You might be able to kind of hear it in the background a little bit. It gets pretty loud when it rains around here because the raindrops are massive. Because
when it rains, they look like golf balls coming down, big puddles splash.
Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing. Well, you're going to see me there someday, I'm sure. I have a new book published in Colombia. And so they'll probably be asking me down there to do a little promotion sometime. And Costa Rica is just around the corner from Colombia, I think. I don't know. It looks so close on a map. I don't know. But anyway, so listen, we have a few people wanting to ask a question. Carol in Chicago, and then maybe Doug wants to ask a question. Maybe Paul will chime in. Let's go to Carol and see what Carol has to say, Paul.
Hello?
Hello, Carol.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay, I was trying to turn it up.
You're on the air, Carol. You have a question for our special guest tonight, Jonathan. Carol's in Chicago,
yes.
Jonathan.
In terms of you losing some friends as you grow, I put it to you like this. You are a conglomerate of everybody you meet, and those are some experiences that you have to have. And as you grow, you're going to lose friends. And I guess you know that now. But
Absolutely.
I had to learn that as well.
Yeah, he had mentioned that earlier, Carol. But, Jonathan, yes. how can you lessen the pain, maybe what Carol's asking?
I kind of hinted at or mentioned it earlier. Because the only thing that you can actually lose is what they're not. Because when you awaken, you realize that you're not a human being having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So, again, the only thing that you're losing is what they're not. as A Course in Miracles says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So if it only exists in time, if it's temporal, then it wasn't real in the first place. So the aspect that's still connected is, you know, our souls, we can't lose the people. That we're still infinite connected. But love is infinite connection. You can't create connection with anybody. You can only create the illusion of separation from them with your judgment. So creating that illusion of separation, thinking that you lost somebody, but it was just they're still trapped in an egoic identity, but you can see through that egoic identity into their soul, and you can remember that you're still membered with them. You're still connected infinitely. So actually the best way that I got this was because, this is actually great. I had an older brother who had muscular dystrophy, which is a terminal disease. And when I was 12, he was 16, he died. And I was holding his hand when he died. And that was the moment that I became a broke, ignorant, blackout, drunk, atheist, beach bum. It was like, it sent me to hell. And I lived a life of just suffering until I did all this work. I started working on myself. I went through level one, level two, level three. And then I was aware of how this physical dimension operates, and I got really, really sick. And at that point, I realized, okay, if I'm really, really sick, that's a physical manifestation of a metaphysical cause. There's something going on underneath the surface. And I was already doing these breakthrough processes on other people, but I didn't have anybody that knew how to do it. But what I did is I just met my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I had her walk me through a breakthrough. And I had her ask me the questions, and then it brought me out. And when she was taking me into, it was a regression breakthrough. She took me back to the moment when my brother died, because what the belief was that was manifesting me dying and my body like really sick was because I felt like I had failed God. And I went back to the first moment when that happened is when my brother died. I felt like I'd failed God, but because I thought it was my job to save my brother, because then I could save my family. And obviously that was never my job, but that's just my egoic identity. That's what it developed. I thought my worthiness was in, trying to be the hero. And so I went back to that moment, and my brother had told me something right before he died. I couldn't hear what he said the first go around. I heard the words, but I didn't know what they meant until I'd been on this whole journey and I was able to go back and listen. And I knew what he meant this time. His final words to me were, because when I went into that room, my mom told me to go tell my brother that it's okay for him to die because he's only holding on because of us. And she said, go in there and tell him it's okay to die. Now, I went in there and I told my brother it's okay to die, but I was lying. It didn't mean that. And so what I had to do was completely shut down all of my emotions, all of my feelings, because I was at war with myself, but I had to say that. And for my brother, and I said, it's okay to die. Now, when my brother died, I didn't cry. I didn't cry for 20 years. I didn't cry until I was doing this breakthrough. So 20 years later. So there I am. And this time I say, it's okay to die. But then I break down crying. And I'm like, but I'm not happy about this. It hurts. And I let myself feel all my feelings this time. I wasn't being fake. I was being real with my brother. And because I was being real with him, this time I could hear him. And you want to know what his last words were? His last words, he says, John, I'm not dying. I'm waking up. He says, wow. This world is just a dream. I've been trapped inside of this body. And there's these pictures of dolphins right above his bed. And he always loved dolphins because they could play. They could jump. And he couldn't jump. He couldn't play. He's been trapped in a wheelchair. And he's like, points over those dolphins. He's like, soon I'm going to be home. I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm going to be able to run and play like a little child. I'm not dying. I'm waking up. Wow. And he told me the truth. I was living inside of a lie. That's why I was miserable for 20 years. But he was living in the truth. And so once I did the breakthrough, I could tell the truth. I could see the truth. And the truth is I didn't lose my brother, because love does not depend upon time and space, which includes bodies. And so I didn't lose my brother that night. Now my brother was no longer trapped in a body, so he was no longer as separate. Now he's been with me ever since. And I, you know, he's with me all the time. So that could be helpful for you. You don't lose. You only lose what they're not. It's like Jesus' body went to the cross, but who he was still lives. So it's, you know, only what you only lost what he's not. That's the only thing you can ever lose. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that came to mind with what Rod Serling said. He said, when you think this is the end, it is really the beginning.
That's right.
But I have a question for you. Do you have any affirmations that you use? If so, how many times do you say them a day? And do you meditate? And if you do, how long?
For several years, I was meditating, you know, 20 minutes a day, twice a day. Now it's like I live in a meditative state. Basically, there's no more mind chatter. There's no more noise. It's just completely clear all the time. So I don't really, but I'll still sit and meditate. Like at breakfast every morning in our group, we all meditate together 8 minutes at 8 o'clock. And then for affirmations, if I experience anything shows up inside of me other than peace, love, and joy, that means there's some sort of lie, there's some sort of illusion. And so what I first do, and I'll do that with me or I'll do that with anybody, because it sticks out like a sore thumb here. When somebody's experienced it, in the old world, it was very rare that I ever experienced peace, love, or joy. But now in my life, it's very rare that I experience anything other than that. So it sticks out like a sore thumb. And so what I do is I find out what the lie is, what the illusion is, what the fear is, what the resistance is. And it might be, you know, what, like a fear of failure, a fear of getting rejected, a fear of whatever the thing is. Once I've identified what it is, I do a release on that. I'll say I have the power of a made-up mind and an open heart. Nothing in this universe can stop the power of a made-up mind and open heart. And then I'll do this. I'll go through. I'll say, I'll release the resistance of being rejected. I'll say that four times. And I'll say, I release the fear of being rejected four times. And I'll say, I release the hate of being rejected four times. And I'll say, I release the terror of being rejected four times. And then I say, I release the desire to be accepted, or I release the desire to be loved. Because if you have a desire for something, it means you assume you don't already have it, which means you're subconsciously pushing it away from you. We leave what's real in the pursuit of what appears to be. So we already have what it is that we're seeking. It's we just don't know it because we blocked ourselves from it. So I'll release the desire to be loved. And I'll do that four times. And then you finish with the affirmation. But it's not actually an affirmation. It's the truth. The truth will set you free. So I have to let go of the lies first before I tell myself the truth. Because if you put the truth or an affirmation on top of a lie, it's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. You release the lies first, and then you let the truth reveal itself and come from the inside out. And so then I'll say the truth is I accept that I am loved and always have been. And I'll say that four times. I accept that I am loved and always have been. I accept I am loved and always have been. I accept I am loved and always have been, because that's the truth. And then all of a sudden, my entire reality shifts. And I'm back to the truth. So
wow.
that's one of the things that I do. And I used to do those many times a day.
That's well said,
question.
Jonathan. Okay, Carol, we have other people waiting. Oh, one last question. Well said,
Jonathan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, what I say for affirmations, I said prosperity comes to me from everybody and everything. But what this brings me a bunch of stuff I don't even need. And I said, I have to think of, I'm going to have to say another affirmation, because it brings me everything basically out of me that I have to just give away. I have to give it away because there's no place for me to hold it. And that's what I said. Prosperity comes to me from everybody and everything. I say that about seven times, just once a day. And I get a lot of stuff, but I'm not.
you might want to release the resistance of having your life filled up with things that aren't supportive to you, and let that go, and then start adding what you want. Because again, if you're piling an affirmation on top of the blockage, it's not going to get you to where you want to go. It's just going to make you one step further away from the truth. So. release that resistance of having a bunch of stuff in your life that isn't supporting you. And that actually goes back to your original thing that you're talking about, which was having friends in your life, that you have to lose friends in your life. Well, at some point there's going to be that happens because they're no longer serving your mission, your destiny. So you have to let go of that kind of stuff. So release the resistance of letting go of things that you don't need. Release the resistance of having things that are not serving you in your life, and then watch the miracles occur.
Okay. Okay, Carol. Well said, Carol. Thanks for the questions, and thank you for being on the show tonight. As always, you have some great questions, and it's great to have you on the show again. Take care. Okay, we're Carol's in Chicago, we're going to go to Doug now. I think he has a question or two. Maybe Paul has one. We have several people listening, by the way, in New York and other places, as well as I can see. Doug, do you have a question that you wanted to ask John?
I have a comment, and then I have a question. Well, one thing is I find it fascinating what you've done and extremely enlightened. And I went on Amazon to look for your book. I mean, this is what a lot of people do. And there are many books there that say, if I die before I wake. But your book is there under Kindle. And if they want your book, they have to make reference to your name, which is Jonathan England. But it is on Amazon, and Kindle edition. So just to let people know, if they wanted to go to Amazon, it is there. But there are many with that name. So, and I'm fascinated by the five levels that you alluded to. Can you give just a brief summarization of each of the five levels?
We don't have a lot of time left, but okay, go ahead.
I'll just kind of name the titles of it. Level one is called Disoriented, where you don't know where you're going. You got no direction in your life. It's like I'm a victim of the circumstances. Level two is where it's called goal-oriented. This is when you start to set the goals. You got clarity, you got vision, and you start moving forward. Level three is called journey-oriented, where you realize it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Level four is when you realize it's not even about the journey, it's about who you become along the journey, because you find everything that you're looking for in level three, but you realize that it was inside of you the whole time. So level four, you start to overflow it into the world around you. And then it's called value-oriented. But then level five, it's called soul-oriented. This is the not my will, but thine be done. Because the problem with level four is you can't see the picture when you're inside of it. So you're trying to serve and give to people, but sometimes you might be giving in level four that isn't supporting the people because you're looking from your limited perspective. But from a higher perspective, serving them would be maybe walking away. So that's level five, is the complete guidance system, and you just don't, it's not your life anymore. You're just a representative.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very, very pellucid.
I thought that was amazing that you summarized it so fast.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. Another question, Doug or Paul, you want to jump in? We have 10 minutes left.
I think I'll give other people a chance to ask their questions first.
Well, I'd just like to know how you like Costa Rica from a cultural point of view, Jonathan, and how is there a big language barrier? I had an uncle who was pastor of an Episcopal church many years ago in San Jose, and just never did get to ask him of how it was culturally. How do you mingle with the locals?
Oh yeah, I absolutely love the culture here. Again, it's Pura Vida is their phrase, and they just live it, the pure life. I mean, you know, if you go to San Jose, like the city, you're basically in the United States. It's back into consumerism, but everywhere else, it's just people living a pure life. Everybody's so happy here because it's like, you got everything. You got waterfalls. You got mountains. You got beaches. Like anything you could think of. There's, you know, food everywhere. There's fresh water everywhere. There's like, it's just, you know, it's just amazing. And like the people, like we've got people building homes on our property, And these, I've never seen anything like it. They're coming here working 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, and they wow. just absolutely love it. They're just like singing and dancing, like literally the whole time they're working, they're just having a blast. And but the as far as the language barrier, a lot of people here speak English. I'm still not very fluent in Spanish, but many of the people in our village are. So, you know, I've always got somebody around. If I need to talk to somebody that doesn't speak Spanish, I got somebody that does. And so it's been pretty easy for me because of those two reasons. One, pretty much anywhere you go around here, there's somebody speaks English. But two, I've always got somebody, almost always got somebody with me that speaks Spanish.
So, Jonathan, if an American would want to come down and just visit, do you have accommodations or how would you do you have programs? What do you all do, if anything, for outside people who want to just come be a part, be immersed in what you all do?
Yeah, we've got amazing casitas here that got beautiful views, sunset views over the mountains. And but yeah, we got plenty of spaces for people to come. We do events. We got one coming up August. I think it's August 3, 4, 5. It's called the Remember Experience. And they can go check that out. It's rememberexperience.com. And you can go come on down. It's definitely, we've only done that event one time. We just did it a couple weeks ago. And it's by far the most powerful thing that I've there's no words for it. I compare our Awaken Life Live event to Date with Destiny, Tony Robbins' biggest event. There's nothing that compares to it. So come on down for that. It's a high level thing. It's not for newbies. It's going to be too intense for newbies. So, but as long as you've actually been doing like spiritual development, cleaning up your ego for a while, you'll be ready for it. But otherwise, you can just come down and just come hang out for a week or something. You just go to earthwakingvillage.org, and there's a visitor application, and you can just put your info in there and when you're thinking about coming, and then we'll talk about it with our team, and we can figure out how to accommodate you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. What do you think, Doug? Should we grab a couple of backpacks and head on down to Costa Rica?
It'd be a long walk. We could go do, yes, for sure. I'm joking. Yes, you know, that I was thinking, you know, I used to sail a boat. It'd be nice to take a sailboat and sail down the Atlantic and then the Caribbean to Costa Rica. How far are you from, where are you situated with respect to the coasts? Are you close to the coasts?
We're 10 minutes from the Pacific coast. It takes you about 6 hours to get to the Caribbean side from where we are.
Wow.
Okay. There's that nice picture, you know, sunsets, waterfalls. You just go over to a tree and pick something off a tree for lunch or breakfast or something, sit hanging around with really loving, nice people. Everybody working on themselves and how to be a giant family, getting back to, I guess, the intention of what we used to be back in the early days when we were, can I say born into the world or established here sometime. Do you go back in time with people? I mean, you mentioned recalls and things like that. Do you get people to really look back and way back in their soul's journey and things like that?
I don't really do anything like previous to any of this lifetime stuff. Anything that you need to work out in it's packed into this physical present moment right here, right now. And so, but I'll do when I do breakthroughs, some of them I call them regression breakthrough where. And I was kind of describing my journey through one of them when I went back to the moment my brother died.
Yeah,
that's one of the main things that I'll do with someone. First, we'll identify a fruit that's in their life. There's something showing up in their life that they don't like. And then once you don't like that, you got a boyfriend who keeps cheating on you. Okay, great. Well, how does it make you feel about yourself when that happens? Well, it makes me feel worthless. Okay, great. when was, and then, you know, and I'll take them through a process, but when was the first time you remember feeling like that? And they'll be like, well, I was 4 years old and, you know, my dad was yelling at my mom or something like that. And then, and so we'll go into that moment and then, and they'll see the moment and they'll see the decision that they made in that moment that then, cause that's the moment that they decided that I'm worthless. And so once they see they made that decision, they can see their entire life built on that decision. They'll see their whole life just like lays out in front of them. They're like, holy crap. Like I can see all these moments over and over and over that were a reflection proving me right about that decision that I made. I always say your greatest gift is that you're always right. And your greatest curse is that you're always right. But the question is, do you want to be right about the thing that you're fighting to be right about? Because, you know, we were created in the likeness and the image of God. We've got the full power of God, but we turn it against ourselves. And what you believe to be true is true for you, even if it's a lie. And so we can make a lie more real than real. And so we'll live an entire life of a lie and not even realize it. So we'll go back to that moment where they made the lie up, and then we look at the lie, we see it very clearly, and then we go beneath the lie and let the truth come out from the inside of that. And they'll tell themselves the truth, and then they'll relive that moment in a different from the truth, and they can see how that moment would be different if they didn't buy a lie, and then they'll see how the rest of their life would have been different if they didn't buy the lie. But then what really matters is this moment, how this moment forward is going to be different, because now they know the truth and they're going to live as the truth instead of living as a lie.
That's empowering, Jonathan. That's amazing. It's been a great show. We really enjoyed your company tonight and your wisdom. For those people who are listening around the world in their different time zones tomorrow, I'm going to ask Jonathan to give his website one more time and how you can get a hold of his book and or visit Costa Rica. Jonathan, how can I get in touch with you?
You could check out my book. You can download it for free at findyourpurposebook.com. It's also on Audible. You can go on Audible and find it. But the book is If I Die Before I Wake. And you can check out our village at earthwakingvillage.org. When is this going to air? Is this because I've
live,
got an event.
You're live
oh,
right
it's
now.
Live right now. Okay, so tomorrow I've got an event. It's online on Zoom. It's called you go to offgriddreamlife.com. And if you've ever had a vision of like a Garden of Eden vision, like, hey, this is what you like the world that you've been living in just feels like, hey, I got dropped off on the wrong planet or something. Well, it wasn't the wrong planet. It's just that you had the planet that you were meant for is the planet you were meant to create. So if you've had these visions of living in community and harmony with nature and each other, I'm going to share with you how I've built that life at the event tomorrow. It's offgriddreamlife.com. It's a free event.
Okay, everybody, be there. Jonathan is the founder of Earth Waking University, a revolutionary educational system that teaches literacy in health, wealth, happiness, relationships, and spiritual connection with the goal of empowering people to find three-dimensional freedom, mental, physical, and spiritually, by uncovering their true selves and unlocking their individual life's purposes. He's committed to changing the world individually and collectively. Jonathan is providing a place for those who wish to live an awakened life with others to find their way to the Earthquaking Echo Village Costa Rica community. Thank you very much for being on the show, my friend. We'll have you on again, and I'd love to drop in and see you sometime. It sounds like you're ahead of your time or right on time for as the world changes, and we look forward to hearing more about the wonderful things that you're doing. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show tonight, Jonathan. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'd definitely love to see you down here. You're definitely a great fit. I can feel you.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Doug might be too. I don't know.
All right. We got plenty of room for you. You'll be my guest.
We're going to keep in touch for sure. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. We're just about at the time, my friends. I want to thank my co-host, Doug Bentley, and our producer, Paul Hughes, for their huge efforts in making Global Village Radio Show all that it can be, and we're proud of it. I'd like to extend my deepest gratitude to you, our listeners around the world, for tuning in and joining us on this fascinating journey. Your curiosity and engagement make our show a vibrant and dynamic experience for all. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. The show is produced by Paul Hughes, and my good friend and co-host is Doug Bentley. We'll see you here next week with an exciting guest Same time, same station. God bless everyone. May the good Lord bless you in all ways. May you have prosperity and peace. This is Douglas saying good night. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.